But first, here's Jeff Watts with this week's Leading Edge.
Hello. Whenever we talk of global warming, we tend to think of things as they are now, but a bit hotter. A study published this week in the Proceedings of the US National Academy of Sciences paints a more radical scenario. Dr. Jack Williams and his co-authors talk of the disappearance of some types of climate found on Earth and the emergence of completely novel ones, possibly over large areas. Among the disappearances will be climates found in the polar regions and in tropical highlands such as the Peruvian Andes. They will be, quite simply, heated out of existence. On the other side of the equation are the novel climates. It's the world's tropical and subtropical lowland areas that are likely to experience change of this kind. So, what can they expect? Jack Williams.
The models vary a bit, but they all consistently show a warming, and so typical warmings for the tropics are on the order of, say, 2 to 3, perhaps as high as 4 degrees Celsius. And there's changes in rainfall, and these changes in rainfall are variable. So, for example, in the Amazonian rainforest, the models suggest that there'll be an increased rainfall in June, July, August, and little change in the wintertime, whereas in the Indonesian rainforest, the models indicate more of a year-round increase in rainfall.
And this model that you're talking about, I mean, this whole thing is based on a simulation, a forward projection of where we have been going in recent years.
That's right. In fact, what we did is we actually looked at 9 different climate models, and the results we present in our paper is an ensemble or an average of these 9 different climate models. And they are run for this new assessment report, the fourth assessment report being put out by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which has been coming out this spring. So they're really sort of the latest and greatest climate simulations available to look at in terms of these predicted responses to different scenarios of greenhouse gas emissions over this century.
Say a little bit about the tropics. What do you anticipate is going to happen there?
Well, climate models consistently indicate that it's the high latitudes where the greatest warming is predicted over this century. And the models that we looked show exactly the same thing. But one of the things that we did in our study that's a little bit different from prior work is that when we looked at the amount of change over this coming century, we scaled it relative to the background variability that has been occurring in that area over the 20th century. The idea being that a change should be considered large only if it's large relative to the background variability. And so this gets at the idea that the tropics are more stable climatically, and so say a 2 to 3 degree warming in the tropics is more significant climatically than say a 5 to 8 degree warming in the high latitudes. And so this is why in our analyses the tropics emerge as an area of relatively large change when you scale it against that background variability.
Well, they're the bare climatic facts, as it were. What about the consequences for plant and animal life in these areas where temperature is going to increase quite radically?
One of the things we speculate about in our paper is that species that grow in these regions in the tropics may have evolved to adapt to a relatively low level of climatic variability so that a smaller change over the century could in fact be more ecologically significant. For the disappearing climates, that's a straightforward and projection of concern that as certain climates disappear, the species that are specialized to those particular environments are at risk of extinction. And so many conservation biologists, when they think about global warming, have been focusing on the problem of the rates of change and how do we move species around or help species move around as they try to track their preferred climatic zone as that moves around. What we raise in this paper is that for some species living in some areas, there may be no place for those species to go as these climates that they are particular to disappear from the global set of climates in the 21st century.
But for all the modeling in the world, we won't know what is going to happen until it actually happens. There will be surprises, you think?
We can make some predictions for the future. It's not a complete blank slate. But there will be surprises, and we point out in the paper that areas that have these new or novel climates that are unlike anything we see today are the areas that may be at most risk of these ecological surprises, since our ecological models and our intuition is based upon what we see around us today. And so areas that are outside the current domain of our observations require some kind of extrapolation. And as anyone who's taken elementary physics know that anytime you take a model and try to extrapolate it, that's when you've had the least ability to test and verify its predictive ability.
Jack Williams of the University of Wisconsin. With me in the studio is Gabriel Walker, consultant to New Scientist magazine. Gabriel, these changes to the world's ecosystem that Jack Williams was talking about, I think we should be clear, this is not just a matter of sentiment or aesthetic. Some of these changes could be really damaging, couldn't they?
Oh, that's certainly true, because I think we underestimate sometimes the extent to which we depend on these ecosystems and the services that they provide for us. And there's another reason to be worried about certain places as well. We just heard that the Arctic is where a lot of the warming has been focused, and already we're starting to see that the Arctic ecosystem is changing quite radically. And that's perhaps a shame for, or perhaps even a benefit for, some of the creatures that live there. But the worry is that in the Arctic there are vast areas which are permanently frozen, permafrost. And they store carbon, and we really don't want that carbon getting out into the atmosphere.
There's a lot of carbon there stored, don't we?
The part of the problem is that nobody really knows. The idea is that you freeze the soil, you freeze everything in it. You freeze the roots, the leaves, everything. It's like having a freezer, and you switch off the freezer, and the food inside it starts to rot. And as soon as that starts to rot, it puts out carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Now, the estimates vary, but it's somewhere between maybe 300 and maybe even 900 gigatons of carbon. Now, just to show you how big that is, the atmosphere at the moment only has about 700, 750 gigatons of carbon in it. So the amount of carbon up there could actually double how much there is in the atmosphere.
That's a frightening figure. Is it all a one-way traffic, or could global warming also serve to soak up carbon as well as simply to release more from the way you've described?
That's one of the reasons it's so difficult to look at the Arctic and understand it, because there are certainly some ways in which you change one ecosystem for another, you actually start to soak up carbon. For instance, in the tundra, which are completely where it's completely treeless, if you get the march of the tree line northwards, the trees can soak up more carbon, and the ecosystem overall takes up more carbon. And in other places too, if you replace very slow growing trees with a kind of very mossy area, it's the same thing. Trouble is, we don't really know yet which is going to be where. We really need the models. We really need the kind of work we're hearing about with good carbon models in them to explain to us what's going to happen.
I can see why Jack Williams says there's going to be surprises.